Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
That we study from the Word of God that sometimes accomplish dual purposes. Sometimes the study can help us to correct and refute false ideas in religion, and at the same time present basic, fundamental, essential truth that we need to understand and which we need to apply in our lives. Both purposes are involved in the lesson this morning, and I think both of them can be accomplished as we discuss a very highly controversial subject. But I would like to remind you once again about controversial subjects. We're not to understand that a controversial subject is that about which there is no right or wrong, about which all is gray, that things are just cloudy. For a subject to be controversial simply means there's a controversy about it. Some look one way, some look another. There's a controversy constantly about all points of truth, because there are those that accept truth and there are those who will reject truth, and therefore there is a controversy. Controversies in matters religious usually stem from the fact that people do not either understand or they just reject and set aside, thus saith the Lord. And as long as there be people who are going to be submissive to the will of God, and there be also people who will not, there's going to be controversy, and there's controversy over the subject that I bring to your attention just now. The question is often asked, can one be saved outside the church? It hasn't been but too many months ago that I heard a very prominent television evangelist to address this question. He began with this thought, can one be saved outside the church? And he leaned forward over his podium and he said, absolutely. Well, there are many people who will not accept that, and I for one would not accept that. I wonder if Jesus Christ, or since Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 verse 28, did he purchase something that is of no value? Did he purchase something that is non-essential? Could we be saved just as well without the shedding of his blood, and his blood was shed for the church, as with it? You have to keep in mind, dear people, that Christ is the head of the church. He's the founder of it. He's the foundation of it. He's the Savior of it. Do you mean to say that anything that is that closely associated and dependent upon Christ is of no significance, is of no contributing factor to our salvation? The people sometimes really confuse the issue and muddy the water by saying, the church doesn't save you. I don't know of anybody that's ever taught the Bible that would contend that the church does save people, except that the church preaches the gospel that saves people, and in that sense we might claim that the church saves people. But what is the church? The church is not a denomination. Even the most rabid and strong proponents of denominations will readily admit that one does not have to be a member of his or her denomination in order to be saved. And with that, we could certainly agree. You see, sometimes people have got the false concept when they talk about the church that they're talking about some kind of denomination. Not so. When gospel preachers and Christian people talk about the church in the biblical sense and speak as the oracles of God, we have no kinship whatever with denominations, that about which you do not read one single syllable in all the pages of the Bible. When I raise the question this morning, can one be saved outside the church? I'm not talking about some denomination anywhere. We have no use for denominations if you're going to follow the Bible. We're talking about that church that Jesus purchased with his blood. The one that he founded upon the truth that he is Christ, the Son of God. The one that he has promised to save, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. That kingdom of God that's going to be delivered unto the Father when he comes again, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Of course, we're talking about people who are accountable and responsible before God, and not everybody is. We discussed last Sunday about remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Infants, little children, and those who are not mentally capable of understanding their responsibility and properly responding, they have no responsibility before God. God will not hold us accountable to that which we cannot possibly grasp. We're talking about people who are capable of knowing, such as most of you here, at least from the age of 10, 12, 14 and up. People who understand nearly every other matter with which they come in contact in life. Can we be saved? That element of people, that group of people, can we be saved outside the church that you read about in the New Testament? Well, friend, the answer to that depends upon what it means to be in the church. And I suggest to you, first of all, and I just want to bring three or four matters to your attention that will bring us the biblical answer. I suggest to you, first of all, that it means to be in the body of Jesus Christ. Because that's the way the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, verse 23, Colossians 1, and verse 18, defines the church as the body of Christ. When Paul was writing to the Christians there in Ephesus, he said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, that we are members of the body. So here's the body of Christ. We are in Christ. We are in His body. We are members of that body. The Apostle Paul wrote again when he was writing to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Keep in mind to whom he was writing. He was writing to the church that met in Corinth. You are in Christ, he says. You are in His body. To be in the church is to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in His body. I think it is highly significant that we understand also that the Bible shows that we get into Christ and we get into the body of Christ the same way. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, we're taught that we're baptized into Christ. This is the final step that we take to get into that relationship with God that the Bible refers to as being in Christ. And again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, Paul said, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit," that is according to the teachings of the Spirit, "are we all baptized into one body." I think we can see, cannot we therefore, what it means to be in the church. We're baptized into the body, which is the church. We're baptized into Christ. Therefore, to be in the church means to be in Christ. So let's rephrase our question. Can one be saved out of Christ? Well, the answer to that is obviously no. Because salvation is a spiritual blessing, and Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. He didn't promise any spiritual blessings to those who are out of Christ. Ephesians 3 and verse 6 teaches us that we're made fellow heirs of promise in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 1 tells us there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10 tells us that salvation is in Christ. And it's only in Christ, because Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Peter had pointed out that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. Therefore, we must be in Christ to be saved. But the Bible shows to be in Christ is the same thing as being in the church. So there is no salvation out of Christ. There can be no salvation out of the church. For friend, to be in the church means that we have been reconciled to God. When man sins, he alienates himself from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. That's what separates us from God. That's what builds a barrier between us and God. If we're going to be saved, that barrier is going to have to be removed. Those sins are going to have to be taken away. We cannot work those sins off by our own goodness. But those sins can be removed the only way that God has provided, and that is by forgiveness. God will forgive our sins. We cannot be saved unless we are reconciled to God. To be in the church is to be reconciled to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, Paul said of Christ, "For He is our peace." That is, Christ is the way of peace, making peace between the sinful man and God, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of Himself of twain one new man, and so making peace. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about Jewish people and Gentile people. Historically, there had been an estrangement between these two people. And they both needed to be at peace with God. And he said it's possible for them to even be at peace with one another. And how is this accomplished? It's accomplished by reconciliation, the making of peace. And in verse 16 he says, "And that He might reconcile both unto God." Where? In one body. How? By the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ has made it possible for mankind in sin to have peace with one another. More importantly, the cross of Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to have peace between us and God. He tells us where this peace is. It's in the body. Right here in Ephesians 2:16, explicitly stated. Where is peace with God? It is in the body. What is the body? Well, we've already learned that the body is the church. Now, let's just rephrase our question. And the answer is so obvious, we need not belabor it. Can one be saved and not be reconciled to God? Who for a moment would contend that we might be saved while we're still at enmity with God, how we're alienated from God? Will God save us in that kind of relationship? Indeed not. It was the ministry of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to preach, "Be ye reconciled to God." Well, where is that reconciliation? The same Apostle that said, "Be reconciled," tells us where that reconciliation is. He tells us it's in the body. Do you know of any other place that it is? And the body is the church. Therefore, I know if I'm going to be reconciled, I must be in His church. His church, not some church, not some man-made church, not a denomination. We don't even read about that. We're talking about His church. Therefore, I know that it's necessary to be in the church, be reconciled to God. Well, let us notice something else. To be in the church simply means that we are spiritually new creatures. The Bible student is familiar with the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Very plain statement. He goes on to express further in the 5th verse, "Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." There must be the new birth. When does that new birth take place? That new birth takes place when we are baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. For when we are baptized, we are raised to walk in newness of life. Just what is a new birth except newness of life? And when is that accomplished? Paul says it's when we are baptized, that we are baptized into Christ. Keep in mind, being in Christ is being in the body, which is being in the church. They all mean the same thing. Same, the things that are equal to each other let me get that mathematical expression correctly. Things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other.
Here's the church. Here's the body. Here's in Christ. Here's reconciliation. Here's a new creature. And the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Where is it to be a new creature? It's in Christ. What is it to be in Christ? It's to be in His body. What is it to be in His body? It's to be reconciled. What is it to be reconciled? Why, it's in the church. There's no such thing as being born again and not belonging to His church. You know, sometimes people use the phrase born again Christians. That's a redundant phrase. That says the same thing twice. If you're born again, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you've been born again. You can't be a Christian without being born again. You don't become a Christian and then are born again. You are born again, and that's what makes you a Christian. And that's what makes you a part of the body. That's what makes you a new creature. And friend, you cannot be saved unless you become a new creature. Let me bring out just one other point here along that line with you. What does it mean to be in the church? It means to be sanctified. Now that's a word that's tossed around in the religious world to mean like that you had some kind of double whammy from the Holy Spirit to make you especially emotional and all aroused and some special experience, and that has nothing in the world to do with the meaning of the word sanctify or sanctification. Paul told the Corinthian brethren that they were saints. He said they had been sanctified. The word sanctify simply means to set apart. Here are people who have been set apart. Here they were in their sins, and now they've been set apart from those sins and set apart into Christ. How is that accomplished? They were cleansed. They were cleansed by this process of sanctification, and therefore they are now set apart in the Lord. There's no such thing as being saved apart from being set apart from the sins of the world. You can't continue in the ways and the identifications of the ways of the world and in the sinful world and still expect to get to heaven. Who are saints? Christians? Who are the sanctified? Members of the church? You cannot be saved without being sanctified. To be sanctified simply means to be made holy. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 tells us that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. You're not going to see God unless you're holy. That doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. That means sanctified. You're a set apart people. You're an elect people. You're a chosen people. You belong to God because you made the choice to belong to God. He's provided the way for you to make that choice. And to have made that choice and to be sanctified is the same thing as being in the church. If people were not addressed so often by false teaching that the church doesn't save you or one church is just as good as another, and would just simply rely upon what the Scripture says, there wouldn't be all these misconceptions about the necessity of being in the church. Young people, I plead with you to simply open your heart and your Bible and to realize that there is not that first word of hope of heaven for you out of the church. Now, I realize that's a strong statement, but it's a true statement. It's a firm statement. And I give it to you with all the love in my heart for your soul and for the cause of truth. And if you're accountable and responsible before God and should die in that state, there is not that first word of hope in all the pages of the Bible for you. Why? You lived your life and you're not in the church. What is the church? People. What kind of people? Bought back, redeemed, sanctified, cleansed, saved people. That's what the church is. If you're not among the saved, how can you claim to be among the saved? That's what it amounts to. When you talk about the church, you're not talking about something separate and apart from the saved. You're talking about the saved.
On the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter preached Christ to those people and convinced them that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ, and they believed that and cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He told them what to do, repent and to be baptized. 3,000 of them did that. And to what were they added? The Bible student already knows. You know to what they were added. Verse 47, they were added to the church. Why the church? Because that's God's called out people. That's God's sanctified people. That's God's saved people. May I close the lesson by just some, and there are many other of these points that you can make, but these four, I think, surely should establish it in the minds of all of us. You cannot be saved outside of the church because you can't be saved outside of Christ. You cannot be saved outside the church because you cannot be reconciled to God. You cannot be saved outside the church because you can't be a new creature until you're in the church. You can't be saved outside the church because you won't be one of the cleansed and sanctified people. How does one therefore enter into the Lord's church? He doesn't join it. He obeys the Lord's commands and takes advantage of the grace and the mercy and the love and the blood that deity has provided. And when you obey His commands to take advantage of what He has done, God adds you to the company of the saved, which is the church. God makes you a member of the church, you see. And there's no salvation apart from that. What are the commands? Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If you do, you're well on your way toward being in the body, the church, in Christ, reconciled, a new creature. But Jesus also said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind that results in a change of direction, a change in the manner of life. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. Now, if you believe that Christ is the Son of God and will repent and make up your mind you're going His way rather than your own or the way of the world, you're well on your way to becoming a sanctified, cleansed, a new creature in Christ in the church. But Jesus also said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Paul said, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10 and verse 10. So if you believe, repent, and will confess Christ, you're well on your way to becoming a saved individual in the church. But that same Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And until you have obeyed the conditions that the Lord has given, you have no right to claim the blessings that the Lord offers. I think that's fair for us to all understand. But when you obey the Lord in baptism, you will be raised a new creature, reconciled to God, a sanctified person in Christ in the church. And there's no salvation any other way. No other way. You can't take your Bible and find salvation any other way. Now there are those here today in the sound of my voice who have not yet but have contemplated obeying the gospel of Christ. You've thought about it. You maybe even planned to. You intend to. But should death overtake you as you are, all of your good intentions would be for naught because you're not in His church. The church you read about in the Bible, that's the only one in which we have any interest or concern. We want you to be in that body which belongs to Christ. If you're subject to the invitation, we want you to come this morning. If you've once done that and wandered away, you need to come back through repentance, confession, and prayer. But let me also make this final statement. If there is any question or doubt in your mind about any of these points, I plead with you to be as the noble Bereans of yesteryear. Simply search the Scriptures to see whether or not these things are so. Because I know that you will find them so. If we can be of any assistance to help you to come to see these things that are so clearly and plainly, explicitly revealed in Scripture, we would be delighted to do it. But search your own Bible. We have no creed to uphold. We have no manual to defend. We have no denomination to belong to. We have nothing but the gospel of Christ to present. And this is God's way. It's through His church. An older preacher one time said, and I know that it's rather general and not specific at all and doesn't give the details, but it's accurate. God's plan of salvation, what is it? The church. It's the church. And all the things that pertain to it, it's the church. We want you to be a part as well.